Last week we talked to you about a single character in the Old Testament. Thought we'd do it again. Talk about Jonah. Bible says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Beloved, a man, any man, is greatly honored and privileged when the word of the Lord comes to him. We live in a time of confusion and a time when many drummers are drumming and many voices are calling. You hardly know which way to go and what to do. There are voices of doom. There are voices proclaiming a false hope. There are voices that are breaking down the moral standards of society. There are voices proclaiming error, saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord has not spoken. But I'm happy today to tell you that now and then, if you listen and if your heart is right, you'll hear the word of the Lord. And whenever a soul has heard that word, that soul has been blessed. I would say further, it is not only dangerous, it is foolish to disregard the word of the Lord. Doesn't matter much whether you listen to Brooks. Doesn't matter much whether you listen to politicians and many others who are proclaiming this and that in our time. But it is dangerous and foolish to ignore the word of the Lord. The Bible says the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. The Bible is very clear on that, and Jonah was very clear on that. Well, Pastor, how on earth do we know when it's the word of the Lord? This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Jesus said, sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. The Lord proclaimed that this is his word. And he said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And we've learned out here that there is a marvelous harmony in God's word. The Old Testament and the New Testament do not fight each other. They shook hands at the cross. They've never had a disagreement. And so all scripture is profitable for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Blessed be the man who recognizes the word of the Lord. Well, how can I recognize it when so many other words are going out? Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice. Well, Lord, how do they know? I have put within every man a measure of faith. There is something in a man, even a no good man, that responds when the word of the Lord comes. You can't be neutral about the word of the Lord. You can't play dumb when you hear the word of the Lord. Might not have ever heard it before, but when you hear it and look in your Bible and see it, the Holy Ghost is there whispering in your ear, this is the way, walk ye in it. You can't be neutral about the word of the Lord. You are blessed when you hear the word of the Lord. You are highly honored when you hear the word of the Lord. I got a letter from Lyndon B. Johnson one day. And I took that letter and I gave it to my buddy Bob. And Bob took that letter and had it laminated. And it's hanging on a wall in my study. Lyndon Johnson wouldn't know me from Jack Sprat. But the fact that I got a letter from the President of the United States addressed to me personally, made me feel proud. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the word from Lyndon Johnson or Carter or anybody else is nothing to be compared with the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. And the word of the Lord always comes with blessing. And it always comes with privilege. And it always comes with opportunity. But bless God, it also comes with responsibility. Whenever the word of the Lord comes, he tells you some things you gotta do. And some things you gotta stop doing. And some things you gotta wear. And some things you gotta take off. And some things you gotta drink. And some things you gotta leave alone. The word of the Lord brings responsibility. Would you say amen out there? And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah and said, arise. Something you got to do. If you listen to folks preach and they don't give you anything to do, you haven't heard a sermon. You might enjoy it, but you have not heard from the Lord. For the Bible says, be ye not hearers only, deceiving your own selves, but doers of the word. This man shall be blessed in his deed. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah saying, arise. And I want to tell you, whenever the word of the Lord comes, it always gives you a lift. Because we're down until we hear the word of the Lord. And when the word of the Lord comes, it lifts us up above the world, above the run of the mill. Above ordinary things and ordinary people, there are things that they do you can't do anymore. Why? Because the word of the Lord has come and said, arise. And then it said, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. Its wickedness has come up before me. And I'm about to judge that city. But if you will go and cry in the name of the Lord and tell them not what you want to tell them, but tell them the word of the Lord, it may be that somebody down there will repent and I can spare that city. But Jonah was like a lot of us. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Frankly, I'm amazed. I don't understand why a man would run from God. I told you last night that it's hard to save people. Folk act like God's going to take them to heaven and throw them in jail and put them on bread and water for eternity. I don't understand why folk resist the Lord the way they do. I can't understand. And one of the spiritual writers says, angels look at this and are amazed. Now, they know how he is. They know that God is good, that he is plenteous in mercy. They know that all of his thoughts toward us are beneficent thoughts. They know that God only wants to keep us from burning in hell. They know that God only wants us to enjoy the best of health down here. They know that God wants to give us eternal life with eternal youth, without an ache or a pain, without toothache and eyeglasses, without crutches and wheelchairs, without gnats and flies and roaches and snakes and mosquitoes. They know that God has something good in mind. And when we fight and squirm and wiggle and resist, angels are amazed. I am too. Why would a man hear the word of the Lord and run from it? Well, when you run from the word of the Lord, there's only one direction to go. The Bible says Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down. And I'm going to stop right there, because that's where you're headed when you run from the word of the Lord. There's nothing good in sight for you. There's nothing ahead of you but a cross when you run from the word of the Lord. Jonah went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down once, and he went down twice. The man is headed down. And when a man resists the word of the Lord, though his pathway might seem a primrose pathway, though there might be lots of company on the broad and easy street, though there might be hypocrites and devils applauding him in his recalcitrance. When you run from the word of the Lord, your direction is down, down, down. And the Bible says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. I'm glad that God is like he is. There's some being baptized today who can't even figure out why God kept fooling with them. Well, I'm glad I serve a God that's not like me. Y'all better be glad the Lord ain't like me, because I'd fix you. And I want to tell you something else. I'm glad the Lord ain't like you, because you'd fix me. When I mess up, I'd rather be in the hands of a merciful Lord than in the hands of the brothers and the sisters. One poet wrote a poem about Jesus and called him the Hound of Heaven. And when I first read it, I recoiled. I said, this is blasphemous. Why would he call the Lord a hound? But then he got to painting a picture about a dog on the trail of a prey. And he follows that trail wherever it goes. Down into the swamp and across the creek and through the bramble. Wherever the track goes, the hound goes. I'm glad that the Lord is something like that. He keeps his eye on you. Because if he didn't do that, the devil would get you caught up in sin and then take your life before you could get it straightened out. But because the Hound of Heaven is on your trail, he kept you through danger seen and unseen. He kept you through sin and iniquity until Brooks could get here to preach the word of the Lord. So the Lord decided Jonah wasn't going to get away that easy. Oh, thank God for that. Amen. Thank God that hypocrites and backsliders have a chance. Amen. Thank God he decided to stir things up a little bit. So he sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and he was fast asleep. Now these fellows who were sailing that boat had been in storms before. They had weathered storms. They had laughed in the face of lightning. They had stood at their posts while the thunder bellowed its threat. But this was no ordinary storm. You see, God stirred this one up to try to reach a lost soul. Would you say amen out there? Sometimes God has to lay you flat on your back to get you to look up. Sometimes he has to put a heavy load on your shoulder to get you to kneel down. But whatever it takes, God will do. Short of forcing you to do right. God was riding on this storm. He moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footprints on the seas and rides upon the storm. And every time they tightened up the sails, God said to the winds, blow a little harder. And every time they made the ship secure, God said to the waves, press on, press on. Finally, these mariners were afraid, men who had been in storms before. And they began to cry unto their gods. But their gods couldn't handle the storm, because they didn't create the winds and the waves. There's only one God that knows how to do that. There was a night when Jesus was in a little boat, and even the disciples, who were fishermen, thought the boat was going to go down. Christ just kept on taking a nap. I want to tell you that even if Jesus sleeps, the devil can't do anything with him. What you say, man, out there? Finally, Christ was aroused. Carest thou not that we perish? How can you lie asleep when each moment so madly is threatening a grave in the angry deep? And Jesus stood up in that little old boat, and it was wiggling and carrying on underneath his feet. And Christ raised up the hands that had created the winds, that had created the seas. And when the lightning flashed, the disciples saw him standing there, and he cried to the winds that he had made, shut up! Amen. Come on. And the winds and the waves obeyed his will. Yes. They cried to their gods. But their gods couldn't handle my God's storm. And so in their desperation, they began to look around. And when they got down in the bottom of the ship, so the shipmaster came to Jonah and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise! Look, sooner or later, you got to get up out of it. Got to get up out of disobedience. Got to get up out of your sin. Sooner or later, you got to get up out of iniquity and immorality. Sooner or later, you got to rise." God told Jonah in the beginning, "Arise." But he went down and down and down. And now in a crisis, the shipmaster awakens him and says, "O sleeper, arise. Call on thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." We tried ours. They can't do anything. We're about to go down. Have you got a God? If you have, try yours. Maybe in the failure of our God, your God will succeed. Maybe in the limitation of our God, your God can come through. Rise! They said, everyone to his fellow, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." And they started casting lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Lord's going to put his finger on us. Sooner or later, he's going to finger us. And he's not going to let mama help. Not going to let daddy help. Not going to let Reuben help. He's going to finger us as individuals. And you got to stand and give account. And they said unto Jonas, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And of what people art thou? Man, what's wrong with you? Who are you? What you done?" Jonah said unto them, "I am an Hebrew." Now, you know, if I keep thinking, I'm going to preach too long here this morning. I was reading my Bible one day, and I found the word Hebrew for the first time. And I kept wondering, well, how did it originate? And one day I was sitting in my office, and in walked a Jewish friend of mine, a Hebrew. I said to him, I was just considering this word here. Can you help me out? Why did they come up with a word Hebrew? It was first used with Abraham. He said, "Oh, yeah, I can help you." And he took a piece of paper out of my notepad, and he wrote two words in Hebrew. Then he put them phonetically in English. One was of Ru, the other was of Rim. He said, "Now, the first word is Hebrew. The second word means he crossed over."
All right.
He said, "You see, when God called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees," that's Babylon, "when God called Abraham out of Babylon, Abraham was one of the richest men down there. Abraham was a goldsmith. He had the finest homes. He had the biggest herds. He had the most servants. He had the best looking family. And of all the people, God called him. Abraham said, 'Lord, I'll do what you want me to do.' So Abraham heard God say, 'Get thee out of thy country and out of thy father's house into a land that I will afterward show you.' I'm not even going to tell you where you're going right now. You got to follow me by faith." Abraham said, "I'll do it." So he went around to say goodbye to all of his business associates and all of his social acquaintances. He went around to say goodbye to all the folks he had known. "Where you going, Abraham?" "I don't know." "Why you mean you don't know? God called me. The word of the Lord came. I'm just going to follow the word of the Lord." "Man, you going to give up that home? You going to give up that business? You going to give up that income? Where you going?" "I don't know. He said he'd show me later." "Man, you going to go and you don't know where you're going?" Abraham said, "Anybody would go if they knew where they were going. It takes a man of faith to step out when he doesn't know where he's going. Just follow the word of the Lord."
Amen.
So the people began to laugh. They said, Abraham, after all these years, has lost his mind. Abraham ain't going anywhere. He's just bluffing. He's like some of those folks who keep standing up every night down at the Warner Theater. They're not going to do right. They're just standing up. But finally, one morning, the people were awakened bright and early. They heard sheep crying in the streets. They heard cattle lowing in the streets. They heard the shepherds calling. They heard the herdsmen driving. And when they looked out of their windows, almost as far as they could look coming up the street, the possessions of Abraham were moving out of Babylon. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to get out of Babylon. And Babylon's got to get out of you. Would you say amen out there? Well, there was a river around Babylon. And the people thought Abraham is just bluffing. Maybe he's not going. He's just trying to put on a demonstration. He's not going. So they jumped out in their robes with their hair rolled up. And they ran out in the street to see if the man meant business. And when they got to the river, the shepherds stopped. And the herdsmen stopped. And the servants stopped. And everybody looked at Abraham. Are you serious, Abraham? Abraham said, go. They said, but there's a river here. Cross over. And when Abraham himself crossed over, they yelled, Avrim, Avrim. He crossed over. He's a Hebrew. Let's say amen out there. Ladies and gentlemen, everybody who becomes a child of God becomes Abraham's seed. Spiritual Israel, before you can get into the family of God, you got to cross over. Would you say amen out there? You've been eating certain things. You got to cross over in your icebox. You've been wearing certain things. You got to cross over and represent the Lord in your appearance. You've been attending theaters. You got to cross over and keep your mind unspotted from the world. You've been fooling around. You got to cross over and straighten up. You've been running your mouth. You got to cross over and shut up. Would you say amen out there? Now that's what the word means. And here is Jonah telling the folks, I'm a Hebrew. Now Hebrew obeys. I fear the Lord God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. What he's doing now is making a distinction between those gods they've been yelling to and the one that sent the storm. He said, now the reason they couldn't stop the storm is my God is in charge of it. He's the one that made the sea and the dry land. Every Sabbath day, I honor him because he is the true God. He is the one that created. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And then they said unto him, what shall we do with thee that the sea may become calm? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up. You got to go up. Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. Now here were some men of charity. Verse 13, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they couldn't. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore, they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord. We beseech thee. Now they are praying to the right God. Amen. Beseech means I beg you on bended knee. Beseech means I have surrendered to your will. Beseech means I acknowledge you as the true God and I worship you as I pray. They said, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. And lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Oh my. Here this prophet has been caught running from the word of the Lord. You can run for a little while. You might head down to Tarshish. You might get on board some other ship. But you can't run forever. As Joe Louis told Billy Kahn, you can run, but you can't hide. God knows where you are. And sooner or later, he will call you into account if you run from the word of the Lord. So they grabbed old Jonah and they threw him overboard. And the minute he cleared the ship, the sea became calm. The winds died down and only whispered on the periphery of God's wrath. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to listen to me. There's nothing so disruptive as a hypocrite, as one who is running from the word of the Lord. There's nothing that causes so much trouble in the church and out of the church than Christians who won't live right. Threw him over, and peace came on board. The sea became as oil. The winds died out and drew back their furious clouds, and the sun broke through. And just as Jonah was headed down into the water, a great fish. Bible calls him a whale. The smart aleck say a whale can't swallow a man. But the Bible says the Lord prepared this whale. Whatever was necessary for the enlarging of his throat and of his esophagus, God prepared him. And when Jonah started over, God brought the whale he had prepared right up, had his mouth open, and when Jonah hit the water, all of a sudden, he felt himself being sucked down a dark, hot, slippery, stinking tube, the fish's throat. And as he was going down, the juices, the saliva in the fish's mouth began to burn him a little bit, you see. Metabolism was setting in. These acids are in there to break down all kinds of substances so that the body of the fish can use them for energy. Jonah immediately was subjected to that. And as he was going down, buckets of seawater hit him in the top of the head. Jonah was in a mess. And all of a sudden, he ended up in a fish's belly. Hot, steaming, smelly fish that the whale had swallowed, stinking up the atmosphere, choking and strangling. When he tried to stand up, the mucus lining was so slick, he fell down. He couldn't stand up. He couldn't lie down. He was a miserable mess. The Bible said the seaweed was wrapped around his head. And then to make bad matters worse, that fish realized that he had a hypocrite in his belly. And a hypocrite will even make a whale sick. So that fish started for a ride. He began to sound. That means he went down to the bottom of the sea. It's in chapter 2. Jonah says he went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption? Jonah was in a runaway roller coaster. Down, 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 as fast as that big mammal could fall. And when he almost neared bottom, that great big whale started up again. Just like a runaway roller coaster, Jonah was in misery. He was scared for his life. The juices were burning. He felt like he was on fire, itching at the same time. Not a fresh breath of air and seawater slapping him in his face. The Bible said, Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Would you say amen out there? Oh, folks, why can't we hear the word of the Lord the first time? Why do we have to wait for trouble? Why do we have to wait until we are almost dead before we'll pray? Jonah cried out of that fish's belly. And you know what he said? I don't have the exact words, but he repented of his sin. Everybody's going to repent sooner or later. He said, Lord, I made a mistake running from the word of the Lord. I shouldn't have done it, Lord. I'm in trouble now. There's nothing I can do about my estate. There's nothing any man can do. Only the God who put me here can deliver me. And I don't deserve deliverance. I'm not asking for justice then. I'm asking for mercy, Lord. Mercy and grace, which I don't deserve. Will you hear me, Lord? If you'll lift me out of this whale's belly, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. I will obey the word of the Lord. And the Bible says God spoke to the whale. One beautiful Sabbath day, My wife and I were speeding along in a sports car along the rock-bound coast of the Mediterranean Sea. That would be the eastern shore of the Mediterranean. And the water is cobalt blue, and the breakers were crashing in on the rocks, and the wildflowers were in profusion. It was beautiful everywhere, and we were staring at the blue sea. All of a sudden, we came to a little town, and there was a sign outside of town, and it was Joneh, J-O-N-E-H. I said to Dr. Shawantes, who was driving us, "Hey, wait a minute. Could that be what I think it is?" He slammed on brakes and pulled over to the side of the road. He said, "Yes, Pastor, I meant to have told you. This town was named after Jonah." I said, "Well, why was it named after Jonah?" He said, "I want you to get out of the car and look." I looked to the south, nothing but rocks and cliffs. I looked to the north, nothing but rocks and cliffs. But right there at that little town, there was a sandy beach. Thank God for his mercy. If the fish had kicked old Jonah out a few miles to the south or a few miles to the north, the waves would have battered him against the rocks and killed him stone dead. But God told his whale where to go. There's a sandy beach. Let him down easy. I still want him to do what I told him to do. And that whale came to that little place, the only place we saw a beach, and he eased up as close as he could, and he gave a great big God-inspired burp, and out with the vomit came Jonah! Amen. Now the Bible says as we go back to the story, that when Jonah had been expelled from that whale's belly, and you know something, Jonah must have been a mess. Jonah was covered with that stuff. Jonah was in a bad shape. He was still itching and burning. He was still stinging. And above all, he was scared half to death. And all of a sudden, in answer to his prayer, that fish had spit him out. And Jonah realizes he is alive. Verse 10 of chapter 2. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon dry land. Not on rocks, but on dry land. And now chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. God ain't going to change his word. He's going to change us or else. God didn't say, "All right, Jonah, I have adjusted the gospel now. I've changed my Sabbath. I'm not so strict about wedding rings. When you go to Nineveh this time, tell those painted up heathen that it's all right. I'll let them slide." The word of the Lord came to Jonah second time. Same word he got the first time. Are you listening to me, beloved? God's word will not change. It said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." God tell them what I told you to tell them, for you got yourself in a jam. Verse 3. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey. Now, I can't resist having a little fun with Jonah right now. Y'all just go ahead and pardon me. Somebody said Jonah was short and fat. Now, if that be true, and bald-headed, I read. If that be true, I want you to imagine a man tumbling out of a whale's belly in all this goo. And the Lord said, "Jonah, arise. Go to Nineveh. Do what I told you to do." The word of the Lord is the same every time you look at it. Putting off salvation is not going to change. Not going to get easier. Not today, you say? It's going to be the same tomorrow. If ever you decide to obey God, you got to do what we told you to do these 4 weeks. Not going to change. You're going to keep the Sabbath or be lost. You're going to straighten up or be lost. So Jonah tumbles out, dirty and filthy. And even though there was a whole sea there, there's no record that he even took a bath. Jonah meant business this time. Word of the Lord came back, got a second chance, same message. And the Bible says Nineveh was 3 days' journey, but Jonah entered the city a day's journey. Now, folks, I have to be honest with you and tell you that's not what the scholars say. They say the size of the city was such it would take you 3 days to walk across it. And Jonah entered the city about one-third in and started preaching. But I can't help but have a little fun with this fella because I know he got himself in a hurry. And I have no doubt that he got there in record time. Now, I want to tell you something else. When my wife and I stood there in that little town of Jonah, we looked at the sea and we looked at the beach. And then just instinctively, I turned to the other side of the road to see which way Jonah went. And you know what? The minute I looked across the road, sheer cliffs went up about 100 feet. And I said to Dr. Shawantes, what's beyond those cliffs? He said, nothing but dry, hot, parched, forbidding desert. And I thought to myself, what a fool Jonah was. When the word of the Lord first came to Jonah, if he'd done what the word of the Lord said the first time, he could have gone to Nineveh on paved roads. He could have stopped by for the hospitality of friends. He could have stopped at wells along the way and slaked his thirst. He could have picked wildflowers and laid down to hear the birds sing. He would have had it easy if he'd done what the word of the Lord said the first time. But by disobeying, he went down, down, down until they threw him out of the boat and the whale took him down, down, down to the bottom of the mountains. There God wrung from his wretched soul a prayer of confession and repentance. And even though the fish let him down easy, when Jonah took off this time, he had to climb high mountains trying to get home. He had to go across a hot and forbidden desert to do the word of the Lord this time. All you succeed in doing by putting off, it's making the road harder when you make up your mind to do God's will. Would you say amen out there? Jonah realized he had blown it the first time. But he wasn't taking any chances this time. Water or no water. Snakes or no snakes. Food or no food. He made up his mind to do what the word of the Lord had said. Would you bow your heads out there? Would you pray in your heart? Everybody, close your eyes and bow your heads. Beloved, the word of the Lord has come to you. The word of the Lord is not going to change. Best time to do what the word of the Lord says do is right now. Right now. There are many today committed to follow the word of the Lord. There are some who have not quite made the decision. I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to respond to the word of the Lord and to the blessed heart of Jesus that wants only one thing for you, and that is that you might live and that you might be his witness and that you might be ready when he comes. The word of the Lord, the blessed word of the Lord, it's a privilege to know the word of the Lord. It's a privilege to believe the word of the Lord. It's a privilege to obey the word of the Lord. Would you say amen? And to run from it is to go down, down, down into the shadows, down into degradation and hardness of heart, down into a lost condition to keep company with demons and to be tormented by the cacophony of their laughter. The word of the Lord speaks to your heart today. Now, I want to know, is there anybody here, not those who've already decided, is there anybody here who this morning
has decided you're ready to do what the Word of the Lord says. If so, I want you to respond to this appeal by standing wherever you are. Today, you've decided this morning to obey the Word of the Lord, to get ready for His coming, to do His blessed will, to obey His commandments, to walk in the truth, to be baptized into the remnant fold, and to wait on His coming as a faithful witness and with the peace of God in your heart. Is there anybody here this morning who will stand up and say, Lord, if You'll take me today, I surrender to Thee. If so, just stand where you are and don't be ashamed to do so. And if someone is standing, I ask my workers to go to those people right now. Thank God for you. I see you. And there are others out there. My workers, if they're in the balcony, and they are, I see someone up there. Get up there. Ushers, you go. Get those names and addresses. And I want to say to those who are standing, if you want to be baptized today, you don't want to put it off any longer. You just stay after this meeting with those who are going to be baptized. And we have robes for you. We'll have a garment for you. You can walk in the light today. Now your head's bowed and you're praying. We're just going to spend a moment with this. And I'm not interested in any kind of hysteria. I want you to be sincere because obeying the Lord makes sense. It's the best way to live. It's the only way of true happiness. And if you want to obey Him and follow Him and live, if you want to get ready for His coming, I want you just to stand with your head bowed for a moment. And our workers will come to you. And they'll take your name and address and phone number. And after this group is dismissed and those who are being baptized come to the front, I want those who are standing to join them. I have a word for you before we go from this place today. But I want to wait a moment. I know that some of you are in the valley of decision. I know some of you are wrestling with this decision. I talk to some who are in splinter churches, little independent movements that have pulled out from the family of God. The Lord is calling you into the remnant fold that teaches the Word of God around the world. No other group can qualify. Jesus is calling. It's the Word of the Lord. If you want to be a part of God's great worldwide family, in every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, surrender. It's the only way. It's the best way. It's the happy way. It's the way of peace. Just stand where you are. Let our workers get to you before we dismiss this service this morning. And I want to ask a favor respectfully of everybody else. If you're not participating in this, I wish you'd keep still and pray if you know how to. Don't move around when the Spirit of God is speaking to men's hearts. Please. Now, is there someone else before we finish our prayer? Our workers are out there amongst you. Just stand and say, Lord, take me today. If you're a liar, He takes liars. If you're filthy, He takes those who are filthy. He cleans them up. If you're a drunkard, He takes drunkards. Drug addict, I baptized them too. One's at Oakwood now studying to be a minister of the gospel. Whatever you are, Jesus says, I'll take you. But you've got to decide to take me and follow the word of the Lord. No matter what you are, I want the sorriest sinner in this place to know that the Lord wants you today. Wants you. He's no respecter of persons. He has no special place in His heart for the big shots. And another place for us humble folks. Lord does not take me and set me above you. Whoever you are, He wants you today. And He's speaking to you. That feeling that you ought to stand is not coming from Charles Brooks. It's coming from the Holy Ghost. But He will not force. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. And if you want to live right, you may. If you want to overcome sin, you may. There's power in the blood. There's strength with the Lord. If you want to be clean, there is mercy with the Lord. In these final moments then, Has God spoken to you? Do you want to join those who already stood and say, Lord, take me today? Bob, can you see? I can't see. Joe, do you see out there? Anybody else? I would keep this service open 1 hour longer for one person if you could decide to do God's will. Is there another? Young or old, man or woman, Jesus is calling right now. Right now. God bless you. And if you didn't find the grace to stand, may He have mercy on you is our prayer. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. O precious God of heaven and earth, how thankful we are this morning that You've come by here. Thank You, Lord, for mercy, for grace, for Jesus, for an invitation to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Thank You for reserving a seat at the welcome table. Thank You for speaking to lost men today. Thank You for those who stood, because there's no man alive who can bring a soul to decision. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done today. Now we're going to continue Your service at DuPont Park. Help Your people to get there safely. Don't let anybody get lost. And grant that Your presence might be felt with such impact that everyone will feel it has been good to be in the house of the Lord today. Oh, blessed Lord, keep us. We're not even going to say the benediction. We're just going to have a little talk with You. And then we're going on over to Your house. We're going to continue what we've begun. We don't want to go without You. So we pray that You would attend every one of us. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Would you say amen?
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.